Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I still have two in the can and I haven't been able to finish them. But I will get one out today. What's happened is I had a Mother's Day thing going on and it was my niece's birthday, so I didn't get to read anything or do anything as far as comics. I did get to visit a comic store in Boulder though. It was called Time Warp, and I've been there before. It's probably one of the better stores as far as like carrying almost every indie that you can imagine. And they carry figurines and everything. And they have a wonderful like dollar box that they keep filling and filling. And this time I went in there and I didn't have a list. I didn't even know we're gonna go. And I just picked some stuff at random because I knew I didn't have them. I don't have a lot of Epic Comics, which is a Marvel imprint. So I picked up a couple of these for a buck. One of them was a Sisterhood of Steel. And I didn't get a full run, but I got a good portion of it. And it's by Christy Marks. And the artist, I do know, it's Mike Volsberg. And I've heard of Christy Marks as well. And it looks pretty cool. I haven't poked at it yet. And then the other one I have started reading is Stalkers. And this is one of the guys I know because he's a TV guy and he's done a lot of DC work, Mark Verheiden and Jan Strand. So those are the writers and creators, and then the artist is Mark Texeira. And this was like awesome. And I only picked up like 5 issues or 6 issues, and they weren't, it was like 1, 2, 6, 7, 10 and 11 or something weird like that. And I read the first two, and man, is it high-paced, action-packed adrenaline. It's about in the distant future, which isn't the distant future because this was like in the 90s. Instead of having police force, they would hire out a public protection firms, and in this case, to stop terrorists. And this one terrorist is in Detroit, and what he did is he put two nuclear bombs, one at a car dealership and one at a car dealer manufacturing of his competition. And it opens up with like, I think he killed his wife. This one guy was in automobiles and then all shit broke down. So he's like targeting automobile things. And one of them is like car salesman, kind of like the Robin Williams in that one movie. He was a car salesman, had to talk down that one guy with the gun. I can't remember what, Cadillac Man. So, except it's like one of those raunchy guys that comes on, Dealer Mike, and yeah, all that kind of stuff. Come on down and have that kind of sale and stuff. So it's just real high paced, and there's a lot of fast forwards and flashbacks, and there's this team that's really reactionary, and one of the teams gets to the car dealership, and they get to the bomb, and they're trying to defuse it. The other ones are at the manufacturer, and they're losing people, and they get to the bomb too, but things are getting. They're making like wrong calls and they're like, okay, what do we do? What do we do? Do we defuse the bomb or, like what wires do we cut? And one team's talking to the other and they cut the blue wire and then they don't hear much and then they cut the blue wire and the bomb blows up in the dealership and right now the other team is trying to still defuse the other bomb, knowing that they cut the wrong one. So it's insane. And there's a lot of action packed with the terrorist, gunfire back and forth. Go on, Harley. You asked to go out. Now you don't want to go out. But anyway, I went to mycomicshop.com and I put all those in my bin, or in my queue, and those shouldn't be much more expensive. They're like $1.75, but they were really cool. And then I bought a bunch of, and I didn't complete it, but Rob Liefeld's Maximum Comic Asylum, which has a lot of comics in it, like Megaton Man, and has Bean World, which is a real independent that I remember Vince used to talk about in 11 O'Clock Comics when I used to listen to it. And it has Evangeline, which I have read, Battlestar Galactica, which I have read. The $6 Million Man, really, which has some weird stuff in this anthology, and it's really cool. Cybrid, Black Seed, Christian, all kinds of different titles in this anthology, so I was real happy to get it. Again, I didn't complete it. And then anytime I see a Fleetway quality book that I don't have, I pick up, and they only had one, but it was Time Killers number 2. There was a Chaos comic, I think this is a crossover event for the Chaos universe, called Aftermath. It was a one shot. I picked that up. I picked up Gold Key Spotlight on Trog and the Sky Gods. This one's a really good pickup, but it is a beat up copy. That's why it was in the dollar bin. It's only good to VG. And then I picked up two Atlas books. Didn't know I already had them, but they were in beat up condition. But for a buck, I can never turn them down. I had The Hands of the Dragon and The Scorpion by Howard Chaykin. So that's about it on the pickups. The other thing that was fascinating is we went with my niece and her friend to this comic shop, and then my dad went, and my brother. And my brother asks a lot of questions, and I like know the answer to everything, like more than shop owners do. Like you could ask me about any, especially Marvel, DC, any independent title. I know what it is, what time period it's been in. I know what I have and what I don't have. Except in the case of Atlas, obviously. So my brother was quizzing me on a bunch of stuff, and I was answering him, and I was answering customers' questions when I was there. And the one thing my niece went for the DC Supergirl stuff. She reads them, and she bought a book, which was not, non-comic book. And she bought the comic book. And then my brother bought some Tiny Titans for my nephew, but he can never focus on those. Like, I tried to read to him, and he's like, "Hey, I want to play video games." But maybe if they could ever get, before bed when he's more tired, read him those comics. Because those are good comics. And, well, it's Titans Go, that's what it is. And I even enjoy reading that one because it's got a lot of humor that can appeal to the adults. And then I got sick, so I haven't been reading either because I'm really winded because of my chest, and then I have asthma, and it's really rough. But anyway, what was really crazy is, we're talking 11, like a 10-year-old, her friend was 10 or 11, and she picked up Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I was just absolutely shocked. I'm like, "You know about Rocky and Bullwinkle?" And she said, "Yeah, I watch them on TV." And I was just amazed that she likes them because it is so much part of my time. We used to wake up at the crack of dawn, and there was Mr. Peabody and Sherman or whatever, and then Rocky and Bullwinkle, Natasha and Boris and Dudley Do-Right. And that used to open up like very early in the morning, at least when I started watching as a kid. On Saturday mornings, I'd get up and watch the bars on the screen, and then the first cartoon that usually came on was Rocky and Bullwinkle. And I was just shocked that she was into that. It was a pretty cool thing. So I want to keep this one short. I want to talk a little bit about a controversy that I know very little about, but I know something about it. Is there was a Kickstarter recently about some, a new comic book, and it got funded, like awesomely funded, and it was by like the real right group, not left or right, but and they're very, very, they're kind of like a hate group. They call women cum dumpsters, and they do awful stuff to the whole comic community. But they got funded, which is good for them, right? But the main controversy is they got picked up by Antarctic Press, and they were going to publish their stuff. And Antarctic Press shits on Trump. I mean, they're just trying to pick up a book. And the whole comics community came down on them, including shop owners, saying, I ain't gonna buy your entire line if you carry this. And I think it's so wrong. Like, I don't like the right at all. I'm more on the left. The right seems to mix religion and politics, and I don't like that at all. That's not fair to anybody who. And they don't want to help your brother. And they're usually religious, but. When it comes to money, I don't want to help other people have health care or stuff like that, and it really bothers me. And then they want to build a wall, and they usually are prejudiced, and that far, far right. Not saying that all of them are, but if you're far right, usually it's pretty extreme. And so this brought out creators like Mark Waid and a couple others attacked it, and the Antarctic Press backed down and they didn't do it. And that actually bugs me because I'm a real proponent, right or left. I mean, I tend to side more Democratic, because I'm more for the people, and I don't want the rich to get richer and stuff like that. And I don't like mixing religion and politics. And I want my Social Security to be there and Medicare and all that stuff, and it probably won't be. But and health care I think is a right for everybody, I really do. If you're sick, you should be able to go to the doctor and not get bankrupt. And right now I have insurance and it sucks because it's like you have to reach a certain amount, so I see the bill as it is, like what I pay. Before it was a copay of $30 every time I go to the doctor. Now it's whatever I pay until I reach a certain maximum. And god damn, it's expensive. It's ridiculous. You get a bill for $500 and just go to the doctor to find out why you can't breathe. It's bullshit, man. We got something wrong there, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better, I'm sure. But anyway, they stopped this comic, and I don't think it's right because people. I'm for the freedom of press, and I hate when they do it to me. So, like, when they blocked my Joker and Batgirl with the gun to her head cover. Because, and the social media comes down on it, and then they finally have to pull the cover. They're like, we got. Fuck that, man. It's a cover B. And then most of these goddamn people that are bitching about this Antarctic Press book don't even know what fucking Antarctic Press is. I mean, they're a independent publisher that publishes a lot of manga-esque stuff, and they do like Last Zombie and weird books like steampunk books, and it's a strange line. I don't even own any of them. If I own an Antarctic, it might be like one, and it probably is a steampunk comic. They have long-running titles like Gold Digger and other stuff, and then they do parody stuff and they do parody shirts. But the community, I mean, people band together and said, we won't pick up any of your books. They probably don't pick up their goddamn books, people that are complaining anyway. It's just a bullshit social bullying, in my opinion. And even though I don't believe what this group stands for, the hate and stuff that they put out there. I don't have to buy their book. I don't. But that doesn't give it a right not to be published or to be threatened not to be published. In other words, let's say, like I told you, I'm not on the right at all, but let's say I am. I should be able to go to my LCS at a minimum, like the LCS threatens not to carry it. That's fine. That's their choice. They should not carry it for their shelves if it bothers them, okay? I understand that. But as me as a consumer, if I want to buy it, they should at least buy it for me. So yeah, that's how I feel for that kind of shit. I don't like shenanigans where they take away privileges and stuff, and even though I don't agree with it, I don't agree with these people at all, and I don't want their book to be successful, but they have a right to put it out there. Or we're all hypocrites, you know? Like when it swings the other way and they pull something that we like, you can't bitch and complain about them pulling it if they pull shit like this too, you know? It swings both ways, the pendulum. So, yeah, I'm sick as hell. I'll probably end this. Oh, the DCBS came in this week, and I got a lot of trades. I got plus my usual batch of comic books. Are you gonna go out this time? You're gonna go. Okay. I'll mention some of the trades. I got Deathstroke the Terminator. I own the singles, but I double dip on the old stuff. It's up to volume 4. So that one is Steve Grant and Steve Irwin and a lot of other people contributing that book. Then I always get Valiant double dip, and this is the hardcover, the Wrath of the Eternal Warrior Deluxe Edition. This I've never read, but I've seen the movie. I like the movie. And I might seek out some more stuff, but it's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Volume 3, from Top Shelf. This one I have the singles on, and I double dipped. It's a comic book history of comics in full color. That's the difference. That's why I bought it. I wanted to see what it looked like in color. I bought The Artist Behind Superman, the Joe Shuster story. This is not a novel. It's about Joe Shuster, and it's a comic book coming out from Super Genius, and it's $20. Truth, Justice in America: The Secret Story of Superman's Creation. Everyone knows Superman, but not everyone knows the secret origins of the American legend. Based on the archival material and original sources, writer blah 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 tells the story of a friendship between illustrator Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel, who thought they had achieved their dream of creating the world-famous character. The young, inexperienced pair expected to get rich. Instead, they made a deal they would ultimately regret. Told from Shuster's perspective, this fascinating graphic novel about geeks and gangsters puts Superman's creation into a wider context of the American comic book history. And then I also picked up The Batcave Companion. I picked up a lot of the like Blue Beetle companions and Hawkman companions, but I never picked up the Batman or Superman because I have this thing where I'd rather care about the B-list and C-list characters because I know so much about Batman, Superman. I'm like, oh, okay, but it looked pretty cool. I heard it on Gotham by Geeks. They were talking about this, and it looks like there's some stuff in here that I can enjoy. So, and then I picked this up. This probably wasn't to my liking because of what it is, but it sounded interesting in the previews. But it's cool for pictures and stuff, but as far as like meat and potatoes, like inside information and stuff. It's really not that much text in here. It's more pictures blown up of covers and stuff like that. And that's The Rise of the Superheroes, the greatest Silver Age comic books and characters. And it mixes in all kinds of media as well. It's really put to get a well put together package. It's just I wish there was more text that went along with, what this thing is, because it talks about the Silver Age, and then there is some text between the pictures, but it's mostly just pictures. So, yep, that is that, and I want to thank you for listening, and I'm probably going to start coughing, so, I will talk to you again soon. Oh, did I tell you about the Battlestar Galactica Eagle Moss I got? It's a Viper, and it's much bigger than the Star Wars or Star Trek ships and stuff. It's, I don't know, it's like 12 inches long, and I don't know, 6 inches high with the stand. It's pretty nice. I was really, really impressed, and I can't wait to get the Cylon ship as well to go along with it. It is the new one though, and I prefer the classic ships to the new ones in the new show, but the Viper looks very, very similar. The Cylon ship is very different. So, thanks for listening, and I'll be back with the weekly reads. I'll talk to you later. Bye. All right, welcome back, and we're going to talk about the weekly books for July 24th of 2017 through July 30th of 2017. Starting at the totals, we had a total of 20 books that week. A good distribution on comics that week. We had one Valiant, one Titan, one Scout, one Marvel, one Lionforge, two Image, 10 DC, one Dark Horse, one Boom, and one Aftershock. It's probably a Geek Brunch route week that week, just based on what I'm seeing. So, at the bottom, we'll start with the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it. I didn't really like it, I liked it. We start with Cyborg number 13 and 14. Cyborg fights Firewire, and Sarah gets into Star Labs, but she was set up by Anomaly, who's the villain. I think there's a villain called Black Narcissus. They find the voice directing Anomaly is the voice of his mother from an alternate world. And the next book is an Image book. I don't think I continued with this. I think I bought it at the shop directly, and I thought it was all right. This was the Shirtless Bear Fighter. It's a bear fighter is recruited by the government to fight bears and paid in flapjacks and syrup. We have the 3 out of 5s. Batman 165. I say here there are two very interesting stories. One has Batman dealing with a mutant, the next step in human evolution, and two, the first appearance of Patricia Powell is in love with Bruce Wayne. So this is an older Batman story, Silver Age-ish, I guess. We get to the 4 out of 5s, and we have the first one from Dark Horse. This is Aliens Dead Orbit number 1. The crew from a fuel station go to rescue 3 people from a ship who are in suspended animation and accidentally burn them when trying to save them. In the future, it looks like it is one guy protecting the ship, and everyone else is dead. And that's one of the guys that accidentally lit him on fire, if I remember correctly. We then have Baby Teeth number 1 from Aftershock. This is Donny Cates' book. I think this is the only one I've read of Baby Teeth so far. Women, even though I have the full series, women document the birth of her child, who apparently is the Antichrist. We then go into an Image book that's a 4 out of 5. We have Divided States of Hysteria. The guy who fails to save the terrorist act goes to prison to form a team, and he's fired from his current position. It's a weird team formation of various criminals. This is a Howard Chaykin book, and I really liked it. We have Action Comics number 980 through 984. This is Superman fighting the Revenge Squad, which is Zod, Eradicator, Cyborg, Superman, Blanc, Mentallo, and Mongol. Zod takes over operation. Superman tries to protect his family in the Fortress of Solitude, but that is what they're after, is the Phantom Zone projector. Superman goes blind. He is joined by Supergirl, Steel, Superwoman, Lex Luthor, and the new Superman. Gets sent to the Phantom Zone, but escaped. Eradicator and Cyborg Superman stuck in the Phantom Zone. Zod gets away. Superman gets sight back. So that was the Revenge Squad story arc. Really entertaining. We then have Bloodshot Day Off as the Valiant book. Focus on the Tank Man and Viet Man and the one day of shore leave that they have. One goes to visit where his love was, and the other visits his father before he dies. We then have Lion Forge, Jazz Maynard, number one. I'm surprised I get this a 4 out of 5 and not a 5 out of 5, but let's stick with what I gave it at the time. A badass jazz musician rescues his sister only to be tracked down by the gang he rescued her from. I really enjoyed that. Good cover stock. I really like what Lion Forge does with the Magnetic Press, which are the European books. They also have a strong superhero continuity line and probably a strong kids line, but I don't buy that. I pretty much stick to Magnetic Press and Lion Forge proper with the superhero stuff. We then go to Boom, this Cullen Bunn story, The Unsound. A woman gets a job in an insane asylum. Seems like her apartment building is full of insane people. The asylum is understaffed and they can't tell the patients from the workers. We have from Scout Comics, Smoketown number one. A woman who's abused has to kill her husband and make it look like suicide, but leaves some blood in the car, and the cops saw her in a DWI traffic stop. Really entertaining. You can see from the previous episodes, I've been on the Iron Man kick. This is Invincible Iron Man, Volume 3, Number 1. It's the backstory of Riri Williams, deals with a villain from the Champions. And she lost her best friend and father to a gang shooting. So it's kind of like her early origin story in there. Backstory with her father and how she lost her father and best friend. We have the 5 out of 5s. We have All-Star Batman number 10 and 11. Really enjoyed this. This was Batman fights the Blackbeard organization, which is really the Black Mask, Penguin, and Great White. You learn a lot about Alfred's past, and Bruce does not know. The second story is in Russia, where Bruce forms an alias. He's undercover, essentially, and discovered by the father and daughter, which are Russian spies. We then get to the last 5 out of 5, and it's Trigger Man, number one. Hired by the mafia to go after two guys who stole $500,000. He is believed dead, but he is broken out of prison. He finds that his lover is involved indirectly, teams up with an ex-cop, and they kill the two guys and many others. He rescues the girl, but his stray bullet kills his love, and he gives his share of to the retired cop, except some of the dollars that he needed to live. I wonder if I read the rest of this because that sounds like a synopsis of the whole thing. I'm gonna just do a quick search on Trigger in here. Let's see here. Trigger. Yeah, I bet I read the whole damn thing. So that should have been Trigger Man 1 through 4. So let's give myself credit for that. And that would be Titan. Is 4 comics instead of 1. All right. I'm gonna search up too. Yeah, I must have read the whole series. Sorry about the coughing. And again, the 5 out of 5s are Trigger Man 1 through 4 and All-Star Batman number 10 and 11. I want to thank you for listening, and you can reach me at the Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. You can reach me at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Follow the episode threads there. Click the like button. And also at the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can leave comments there. I want to thank you all for listening. And if you can, leave an iTunes review. Don't get those so much anymore, but if you get a chance, I would appreciate it. And let me know what you like, which podcast you like on the Geek Brunch feed. And I'll talk to you very, very soon. Bye bye.